Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Love is the answer. Now, what is your question? That's what Bill H. taught me one day when I brought a problem to him. He looked at my face, he could see that I was concerned and carrying the burdens of the world. And he looked at me and he said, "Pastor, love is the answer. Now, what is the question you're asking?" God's big answer in the life of our world is that his love releases the force of all of the creation from the heavens and the universe into our lives, that we may know the power of love, for all that God gives is given as the gift of love and the expression of his love for us. That the Messiah mission of Jesus is described as that mission power of God loved the world, that he gave his very self, the life of his son, and that all who step into this love with a belief in this trust know what Catherine Elizabeth gave a witness from today from the baptistry. The power of a love that does not let go. What was the question that you were asking God as you entered the worship space this morning, this sanctuary? The answer is the love of Christ. When someone in your household wakes up, even your dog or your cat, their first question, whether or not they put it into words, is, "Do you love me? Do I belong here? Do you understand me? Are you willing to connect with me in love?" That may be the last thing they would ever say because of the vulnerability that comes with the awareness. And yet that's how God made us. 85% of the power of transporting American culture to other countries happens by pop culture. It's an alarming message. But in the 85% of the songs of pop culture is the message of a love of some kind. Now, we want to be clear, we aren't talking about romantic love, but we're talking about more than romantic love. We're talking about what it is that aches inside of you and what stirs in the hope of you. We're talking about why Arthur Ridgway was born in the world. Zachary, where did you go? The power of your love, the power of your gift and your grace, the sense and the wonder of who God is. It is the wonder that this little child was born into the world as the gift of the promise to he and Sarah. And at the same time, Cheryl, who normally would be here, is Zachary right here. Thank you. Zachary, we celebrate with you and Arthur's. So, well,
I stepped out to check my phone.
That's right. Yeah, to check. That's right. So Sarah's in the hospital, and Arthur's there with her.
Yes.
And how much do you love Arthur?
Right now? A lot.
A lot. Okay. And Sarah.
Also a lot.
Yeah. To in the world of your life of love, we express our love to you. Blessings.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. And there is a love that does not let go. And so Cheryl Lindquist, who's also our gifted organist, her mother had a stroke. She was boarding a plane, and she knew in flying to Florida that her mother passed away, and that's where she is now. But in this love gift of God, the creator of the heaven, the universe, the creator of all eternity, this love has no end. And it's not just a feel-good love. It is an emotion, but it is more than an emotion, and that's where we're focusing in to the power of this love message today. The one who wrote what is called the love chapter of the Bible, and it's appropriately known as the love chapter, was Paul, who became an apostle. But before he was known by others as Paul, he went by Saul. But something happened in Saul's life that changed him forever. And he wanted to show the believers in Corinth and around the world what that was. And so he said in 1 Corinthians 12:31, "I will show you a more excellent way." He had been communicating to the Corinthians, a very wealthy business enterprising colony of the Roman Empire. And in the midst of these new believers in Christ who were proud of what their accomplishments were shining into the world, and yet they were quarreling with each other. Yes, they were abusing each other sexually. And yet they were excluding the upper crust. Those who had more money than others were excluding those who had less. And Paul was hitting hard on them by saying, you have all of this stuff, but the stuff owns you. But there is a way for you to own the stuff and to give this gift as a gift of love into the world. Now, Saul came to this understanding, came to this transformation through difficulty in his own life. And this difficulty is what brought him to what's called that Damascus Road experience. It's when he was transformed by the light of Christ shining into the darkness of his soul, exposing his ego, exposing his stuff, where Paul could only say, I am an empty, lonely man because I have not love. And his life and that moment was changed forever. He went on the long journey of a discipleship and following of the Christ and began to connect this message of Christ's love that has had a way of touching the world to this very day. What happened? Well, the same thing that happened to Bill that taught me in my sermon title, to happen to Paul, happened to Catherine Elizabeth, happens for you. That God's love enables us to feel love, so that we can feel loved and then be able to give love to others. If we are not filled up in the gas tank of our soul with love, we have nothing to give. But if we can feel that love, then the feeling comes through. Again, it is a sense of knowing that we belong in God's family by way of his love that graces us and gives us our life purpose. You heard Catherine from the baptistry about her purpose. She knows that her purpose in life has come together by the power of God's love in Christ, that he has plans for her. And not plans like the world left to itself would do to harm us or to hurt us, but plans of this transformation. And Paul, the author of 1 Corinthians 13, thought he was in the service of God by creating a lot of harm and hurt in the world. And then he came to realize that what he was doing was just his own ego-driven ambition. And he was lost. What about you? Changed from the inside out. He showed that love is the only force which gives meaning to life. Not until his conversion, followed by discipleship, did he realize that this was true. We post parts of my sermon on social media before Sunday morning, and one of the men responded to the posting by saying, "This it was this very quote that caught his imagination years ago, in which he was out on a business trip, and he knew he was on empty. And he pulled off the side of the road and he could feel that he had came in his desperation to this love of Christ, and it began to touch him and then transform him and to move him. And he returned to San Antonio, returned into our sanctuary, and just dedicated his life to Christ by the love awareness that was filling him up. See, God made us for love, and our happiness in life is in capacity to love. And so God gives us the tremendous capacity for love, regardless of our IQ, regardless of our social standing. It is equally available to each and every person. As a matter of fact, we're only wealthy in God's eyes by how we love. How's your love standing in the world? Well, Paul says there are three basic ways we can check this out. We can check it out first, what he describes in the first three verses, which it says God has the power to transform what we do into spiritual gifts. That's when he lays out that if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I'm nothing but a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Or if I have prophecy and I can understand all mysteries and fathom all questions, and faith enough to move the mountains but I have not love, I am nothing. And if I give away all I have for the benefit of others, and even offer my body to be sacrificed, it profits me nothing if I do not love. Love is the empowerment of your talents, my talents. God does give us spiritual gifts. He does give us unique capacities to use in the life of the gospel. And he has given you talents in the world to use your talents, and they take on a transcending difference. They go to the highest level. They are the awareness that this gift of your talent is to be used with love into our world. Administration, teaching, caring, hospitality, healing hurts. All of this is this expression of this love. When you wake up in the morning, my prayer in that in this Valentine's week, you will wake up and say, Lord, thank you for loving me. I lean into your love. Make me a person of love today. Just let that be your prayer. Thank you for your love, Lord. Make me a person of love today. Spiritual gifts are made from your talents by love. You know, Valentine's Day is named by tradition after a guy called Valentinus. There have been several in early church history. But the one that by whom this the name came from is a person who, in the middle of the Roman Empire, realized that a decree had been given from Rome that Roman soldiers could not be married during a certain stint of their military service. And yet there were some soldiers who wanted to marry. And against the emperor's order, he began to perform wedding ceremonies. He was a believer. He did it so out of the love of God. Now, it wasn't his romantic love for the people whose wedding he was officiating. It was the love of God that he knew on behalf of them who wanted to be married that he was to offer that as a service. His reward was being arrested. His reward was being killed. And so he wrote a last love letter to someone whom he had performed a particular act of kindness to. And he wrote her and he signed it, Love, Valentine, from which we get the tradition of Valentine's Day. Now, I don't know what your fourth grade memory is, or if you're in the fourth grade now, what it's like when you made Valentine cards for someone else, and like Charlie Brown, you know, with that redheaded girl, and you give the Valentine, and only to have it kind of rejected, and we can all feel rejected by some love expressions in our life, and when we feel rejected by an expression of love, we tend to pull back, and not to give as much of ourselves. And yet when every rejection that we experience, what God wants us to do is simply be wiser in the love. To take that pain and reinvest it as the gain of a wisdom to know how most intelligently to be able to show this love. And so that's what takes us to building our character. So it was in the middle part of 1 Corinthians 13. Then Paul gives out a description about what love is and is not. He uses 15 verbs. We're talking about what you do in life. We're talking about behavior. We're talking about ethic. We're talking about the application of this passion and friendship and commitment that is the triangle of love. Where there is passion but not friendship and commitment, it is not love. It is lust. It is a sense of a fantasy. And where there is this friendship that is impassioned by a love for the best for the other person, then it begins to soar to the heights of love. And commitment is the willingness to see it through. Commitment is the willingness to take it forward. Last night I was with a man and seated next to he and his wife, and they had been married for 70 years. I asked him with Vicky overhearing, said, how did you do it? He said, well, in our premarital counseling, and you realize that there's a 40% increased chance for success in marriage with premarital counseling. I'm taking appointments this week. Jacob will. We all will here. He said, it's the pastor told us to, you know, not to go to bed angry with each other. Say a prayer of, Lord, we love you and we thank you. Give each other a hug as we go to bed, go to sleep with each other. He said, we haven't always done it, but we always knew it was there for us to do. And we got ourselves back to it whenever we forgot it. For 70 years. Now, these 15 verbs that are described here are the kind of love that we would do for our neighbor, our co-worker, our friend, as well as for our family. But love is patient, and love is kind. It is not envious or boastful. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It does not rejoice in wrong, but it delights in what is good. Love bears all, believes all, hopes all, and endures all things. These 15 quick descriptors and 3 verses and the power of a love that is the pattern of God in our lives. To have God become closer to us is to let this love pattern of God become the pattern for our lives. And every time I'm tempted, you're tempted, we're tempted to be arrogant or rude or insisting on our own way, holding on to wrongs, then just remembering that's bruising love. That's damaging the pathway that God is wanting us to be able to travel in that conversation and that response to a particular situation. That there is a love response that can be given. It may be confronting. It may need to be speaking truth. But it is always done with the purpose of bringing about this kind of love path of connection. The power of this love builds the character of our life. One of the best-known writers this last century was a monk called Thomas Merton. And you know, many Baptists who aren't familiar with the ways of monks think, well, that's an easy way to live life. You kind of go away and you live in a monastery and you don't have to deal with all the problems of the world. And yet Merton lived and wrote and taught in such a way that he helped to transform our world. And here's was his response to that criticism. He said, just think about it. You live with the same group of men for 50 years. 7 times a day you go and pray in the sanctuary. You work in the fields as a farmer. You have 3 meals a day, day after day after day after day, month after month, year after year. You think that's easy? Jean-Paul Sartre put it another way. He was an atheist looking for faith, in which he said, hell for his mind would be being sent into eternity in a room filled with people who didn't like you and every day of eternity told you what they thought about you, for which there is no exit. But the love of Christ comes just the opposite. It gives us that capacity to be able to see others from God's perspective, to see others from this kind of love. And Paul is writing this to the group of the Corinthians. And they realize they're having to change. And so he takes them in from the transforming their talents and what they do with their life as spiritual gifts to build a character through their love. He then takes them in the sense of the loving, the knowing, to see what life's meaning is. We soon will celebrate from this table of love, this feast experience of called the Lord's Supper, the sense of the communion for the community of a love people called the church. And in the midst of this experience, we've come to the place of knowing that love never ends. Love does not lose. Love of Christ always shows up. The love of God never backpedals. The love of God never looks for the easiest escape route. The love of God is there during the most difficult moments to prove that God's love will win in our lives as we will let it win in our life. But it means that prophecies, they will pass away. The tongues will be stilled. The sense of how much you know will find its limit. Even now, we can come to say what Paul said, when I was a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, and I acted like a child, but I'm no longer a child, and therefore, I'm to be as a youth, as an adult. And to be able to have the power of this love kind of growing within our life, but still with a childlike innocence and love that's been made by the freshness of God, like Arthur being born into the world to Sarah and Zachary. Like a new love being born to life, like Cheryl's mother into eternity. We only know in part now, but then we'll be known, fully known. And the Corinthians were people known for making mirrors, the best mirrors of the Roman Empire. And Paul would say, and yet you look at your best mirror, and it's as though you're looking in a glass darkly. But then we will be known face to face. Christ came to show us in the Messiah mission of love that God's love is so powerful that we may know that God knows what it's like to live in an unloving world, aching to be loved. And God says, let it begin with you, accepting my love for you, and begin to change the world by how you do this love in our world. And so the early Christians would go to the hillside and the different communities where babies that the parents didn't want, and would leave the babies under the tree to the fates. The Christians would go to those same trees and bring the babies and raise it in the life of the church. Slaves were treated with a sense of dignity and equality in the life of the early church. Women were seen as equal as men. The church began to change society by how it applied love. And they were all humbled by knowing that all of us, like Catherine Elizabeth, need to say, we can't do it on our own. We have come to the end of ourselves. And so, Paul opened 1 Corinthians 13 with a series of ifs, but he concluded with what is. So what is it that makes life worth it? What is it that lasts? What is it that has the transforming power? Well, it is faith and hope. Faith is trust, and hope is a vision. And it is this love, because the greatest of these is this love of passion and friendship and commitment of God into our life through the Savior Christ, for us and to each other as the people called the church, and for us into the world and how we live our lives. When you breathe your last breath, and that day's coming, it may be this afternoon for me, or maybe 30 years from now, but will it be said of you and be said of me, he or she was a person of love? For that and that alone is what makes it into eternity. For it is this love of Christ that is the power of love in our world. So, what's your question? Well, love is the answer.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.